Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This happened a few years ago. I never brought this up to anyone who wasn't involved because I know how insane it sounds, but I want to put this story out there so at least people know this threat is real and what they can do if it comes for them. Honestly, if someone told me what I'm about to tell you, I'd probably just say they were desperate for attention. I'll let you decide for yourself. I'm from the American Southwest, in what was once the Navajo Nation, and that's where the story takes place. I was dating this girl, Gigi, at the time. I was 20, and she was 18, and had just graduated high school a month or two ago. One weekend, Gigi's grandparents went out of town, and they asked Gigi if she'd watch their place while they were gone, mostly because they had a cat named Jake that her grandma absolutely adored. We'd been dating for close to a year at this point, so Gigi asked if I wanted to stay there over the weekend with her. I excitedly said yes, because I knew her grandparents lived in this extremely nice residential area called Cayenta. It's a very secluded area, maybe 15 minutes from the nearest part of town, out in a gorgeous, fertile part of the Great Basin Desert. Every home in Cayenta has about a half acre of property to it, so the houses were kind of far apart. It's also worth noting that there wasn't a single home in Cayenta worth less than $1 million. They were very nice homes. So Gigi and I drove out to her grandparents' house in the desert the first night they were gone, and I was just in awe of the house. It was a very beautiful adobe-style home with Mexican ceramic tile floors and genuine Navajo tapestries decorating the walls. There were a lot of rooms, too. A main living room area with a fireplace, a dining room, kitchen, a library, a den where her grandparents watched TV, a bedroom, bathroom, then the master bedroom with a private porch, the master bath and a private shower room connected to the master bedroom. One of my favorite things about the house was how many windows there were. In the kitchen and living room, nearly every wall was entirely made of windows, so you could always take in the gorgeous desert view. We found Jake curling up on the couch in the den. He's a large black cat with green eyes and was very friendly. There was a door to the outside in the den, and it had a little cat flap in it so Jake could go explore the desert and come back as he wished. We made sure he had some food and water, and then I wanted to check out more of the property. While we were walking around the sandy hills surrounding the house, I pulled out a joint I had brought. Gigi and I both liked smoking, so we got very high as we watched the sun start to set. Sunsets in the desert are some of the most beautiful. The sky turns into a painting palette of colors. The bright orange sun creates pink streaks that glow across the purple sky. It was beautiful, but suddenly we got this weird feeling of being exposed out in the open desert.
"Do you feel weird being out here?"
she asked me. What do you mean?
"Just this place is so vast. Anything could be out here. It's like the hills have eyes or something."
I chuckled at that. Only thing out here are coyotes and retired seniors. Maybe a cougar. But Gigi insisted that she had a weird feeling like we weren't alone in the desert. She agreed it was probably just an animal, but it was getting dark anyway, so we decided to go back to the house. Plus, Gigi said she knew where her grandmother kept some alcohol. We got back inside and rummaged the pantry until we found a handle of Bacardi. It was big enough that we figured we could drink a pretty fair amount of it before making a noticeable dent. We both took a couple shots and then mixed some with orange juice to sip on. Gigi's grandma had a lot of books about the Navajo people, about their traditions and beliefs, and about their superstitions. I opened a few of them just to look at the pictures inside. One that caught my attention was a book about Yi Naldoshi, or Skinwalker. I'd heard about them growing up, the shapeshifters in Navajo folklore, supposedly witches who were once human, and their ultimate goal is to kill a person and wear its skin, so it can feel like a human again. I picked it up and opened to a random page where I saw a picture of a demonic-looking creature, like a twisted wolf with big antlers. I remembered one time a Navajo girl in my class was getting mad because we were talking about them. She said that simply mentioning them attracted their attention. Looking at this picture, I could understand why she would be afraid. I only read about half a page and decided that was enough. By now, the sun had completely gone down, and I started to wish there were curtains for all those windows in the house. It was pitch black in the desert, and with the lights turned on in the house, the windows basically turned into mirrors. We could no longer see outside, but whatever is on the outside can still see in. It made me think about skinwalkers and what Gigi said earlier, about how she felt that there was something in the desert with us. And suddenly, I couldn't shake the feeling that we were being watched. I told myself it was just a stoned paranoia, though, and Gigi and I watched some TV in the den. After about 30 minutes, Gigi said,
"Hey, are you hungry?"
I said, "Yeah." And she told me there's a Costco pizza in the freezer out in the garage. She asked me if I'd go get it. And I said, "Sure." A trip to the garage was a small price to pay for Costco pizza. Now, mind you, the garage isn't connected to the house. It's a detached garage about 10 yards away on the property. So I go out to the kitchen door and walk the 10 yards to the garage. I get the pizza, and I'm on my way back when I hear what sounds like an animal in the sagebrush. At this moment, I remember that we haven't seen Jake since we first got to the house, and I want to make sure it's not him, since he should definitely be inside at this time of night. There are coyotes around, after all. I take out my phone and shine a flashlight in the direction of the noise I hear. Jake? I call out in a friendly voice. Here, kitty kitty. Then an animal emerged from the brush. For a second, I thought it was a coyote, but I realized this animal was much too large. It looked almost like a dog, but it wasn't any kind of dog I'd ever seen. The sight of it actually really creeped me out. But I know you're not supposed to panic or run from predators, so I calmly walked to the door. Its eyes followed me as I backed up to the house, but as soon as I slid the glass door open, it started running towards me. I freaked out and got inside as quickly as I could, and I locked the door right as it got up to the glass. It stared at me for a moment before walking away, and its eyes looked so strange to me, almost human-like. And as it turned around, the porch light caught it, and I swear I could see antlers on its head. My heart was racing.
Hey, Gigi,
I called out to my girlfriend. I think she could hear the stress in my voice because she came out quickly, looking worried. I looked at her, prepared to tell her about the weird creature, but then I remembered something else.
Where's Jake?
The look in her eyes said, "Oh shit," realizing she hadn't seen him in a while either. We tore the house apart looking for him, searching in every one of the many rooms. We were panicking so hard. This cat was the whole reason Gigi was staying at my grandparents in the first place, and her grandma would absolutely freak out at her if we lost it. She probably wouldn't talk to her for a couple months. She really loved that cat. We searched the living room, bedrooms, bathrooms, and den. We looked under every couch and mattress in the house. I was so panicked. I'd honestly forgotten about the strange experience I'd just had with that animal. I had just peeked inside the shower room when I heard a faint sound. I ran back out from the master bedroom and saw Jake sitting in the porch light outside the kitchen door I had just come in through. I took a sigh of relief.
Hey, I found him,
I shouted to Gigi. I opened the sliding door and let Jake inside. He brushed his head up against my shins and meowed softly at me. Gigi ran into the room and picked him up and let out her own sigh of relief. After this, we just settled down and watched more TV in the den. We were both a little drunk at this point, and we started making out on the couch, being sure to keep an eye on Jake so he didn't disappear again. After a few minutes of this, we heard what sounded like the cat flap in the door.
We looked down at the flap and saw Jake. But Jake was already sitting on the other couch in the den. We could see him right there. Something wasn't right. The cat by the door started making weird growling noises at Jake, hissing and puffing up its tail. Then Jake jumped down from the couch and the two cats lunged at each other, screaming and clawing and biting. Not in a playful way either, in a serious, I want to kill you kind of way. I stood up and yelled at them, which seemed to scare them both, and they stopped fighting long enough for me to pick one of them up and go into the other room. I wasn't sure if I picked up Jake or the intruder cat, so I had Gigi look at both of them, and she couldn't tell the difference either. They were identical black cats. In order to figure out which one was which, we stayed in different rooms and studied both cats' behaviors. My cat was friendly and kept brushing up against me, trying to get me to pet it, so I was pretty sure I had Jake. I asked Gigi how her cat was doing, and she said he was acting very skittish. Confident we had identified which cat was Jake, we shooed the other cat out through the door in the den, and then blocked the cat flap so it couldn't come back in.
"Do you smell that?"
Gigi asked. I hadn't noticed it until she pointed it out, but then I got hit by a very weird and off-putting scent in the den. It honestly smelled like something had died in the room.
"What is that?"
I think it's from them fighting," I said. Cats release a pheromone when they're in danger. This must be what it smells like."
"It's disgusting."
I had to agree. It was pretty gross, so bad that we could no longer stand to be in the den. We grabbed Jake and took him out into the living room, where we continued to watch TV. Jake just wouldn't leave me alone, either. He kept getting on my lap and meowing for me to pet him, and I gladly obliged until he seemed satisfied. As the night was winding down, Gigi said she was going to take a shower. I said okay, just planning to watch more TV. Gigi went to the shower room, and Jake decided he'd had enough of me and followed her. I heard the shower turn on, but then, a minute later, Gigi walked out of the room, saying there were no more towels, and she'd have to go back in the den. She plugged her nose before entering and giggled a little bit. I wished I could go back in the den, because these windows were still creeping me out. That weird animal never left the back of my mind, but I tried my best to distract myself by just watching TV. After minutes, I heard Gigi call out from the shower.
"Hey!"
I replied. "What's up?" In a surly voice, she said,
"Come join me."
I suddenly got really excited, thinking about having sex in that shower room. She didn't have to tell me twice. I got off the couch, but then I felt my phone vibrate in my pocket. I looked at it and saw I'd just gotten a text from Gigi. "Don't go in there," it said. I was frozen in place. I realized Gigi had never gone back to the shower room. She was still in the den looking for a towel. I looked over to the door of the den and cracked open slowly. I held my breath, waiting to see what came out of there. I half expected the demonic horned dog from that Skinwalker book to come creeping out to devour me. I could feel myself shaking. Slowly, Gigi emerged from the den, and I could see she was terrified, her skin colorless and her eyes wide with fear. She was clutching a six-shooter and trembling. She nodded at me to head for the front door. Quietly, I inched towards it. I was much closer to it than she was. By the time I got there, she was only halfway across the floor. We heard that thing call out from the shower again in a sweet, sing-song voice.
"Don't keep me waiting."
I gulped and felt sweat drip down my brow as Gigi picked up the pace. She was only a few feet away when I heard the sound of wet footsteps coming out of the shower. I suddenly was unable to breathe, hearing the footsteps get closer. It was as if I could feel my life about to end. It peered its head around the corner, and my heart stopped in my chest. It looked just like Gigi. Same black hair, same face, same freckled skin. I wouldn't have been able to tell the difference, except its eyes immediately turned to the darkest black. I let out a weak, pathetic scream as it started running. Skin was replaced by feathers. A crown of antlers broke through its hairline, and it opened its mouth so wide its cheeks split open. Then I heard the loudest sound I'd heard in my life. The creature suddenly fell to the floor, screaming and writhing. There was a hole in its chest that looked like it was already beginning to rot.
Gigi grabbed my arm and pulled me out the front door. Sitting just outside was Jake, or what used to be Jake. His body had been mutilated and partially eaten. We didn't waste any time in getting the fuck out of there. I drove through the desert as fast as I could. "What did you do?" was the first question out of my mouth. Gigi was still taking deep breaths and staring wide-eyed at nothing. "What was that thing?" Gigi explained that her grandma was very superstitious about the old Navajo legends. She held up the revolver she brought out from the den.
"My grandma keeps it loaded with silver-capped bullets, and inside is a pocket of ash."
Ash and silver are supposedly the only things that can hurt a skinwalker, and thankfully, it bought us enough time to get out of the desert alive that night. I'll never forget that night for the rest of my life, but that's actually not where this story ends. On the way out of the desert, Gigi called her grandma in a fit of hysteria. Through her tears, she managed to explain what happened. There was a long silence, and then her grandma said they'd come back early tomorrow, and told us to keep the gun close and just go back to Gigi's apartment for tonight. We got to the apartment and tried our best to sleep, but we were utterly terrified of what we just experienced. Every little noise set us off. We were worried maybe it was able to follow us somehow. Eventually, the morning rolled around, and Gigi's grandma came to pick us up. We didn't really question it. We just got in the car with her. But after a few minutes, we noticed we were headed back to Kayenta.
"What are you doing?" Gigi asked. "You're not going back there, are you?"
"Why not?" her grandma said. "It's my home, not theirs."
She explained that she had felt this creature stalking her for some time now. She thought it had gone away when she didn't notice it for several months. That's why she was comfortable asking Gigi to watch the house for her. She also said she knew how to get rid of it for good, now that it's bold enough to try and claim her home. As we pulled up to the garage, we drove past Jake. The pain on her grandma's face was clear, but if anything, it only strengthened her resolve. Gigi and I hesitantly got out of the car once we parked.
"Stay right there," her grandma warned.
She pulled out a container of salt and drew a circle around us.
"This will keep it out for a while."
She asked Gigi to hand over the gun, checking the rounds and cocked back the hammer. Then she cried out,
"Mako!"
She stared at the garage door, waiting for something. We waited anxiously as well.
"Mako!"
she yelled. Still nothing.
"Mako! Mako! Mako!"
After the seventh call, Jake emerged from the desert and walked into the garage with us. He meowed sweetly and looked at Gigi's grandmother. She responded by pointing the gun at it.
"You cursed, wretched beast. You've stalked me for years."
Her voice was oddly calm and low.
"You were here first, so I was willing to ignore you for a while, knowing you couldn't hurt me if I didn't invite you into my home."
The cat started circling our ring of salt, laughing.
"But now you've invaded my home and turned your eyes on my granddaughter. It's time for you to go. I know your name."
Its laughing intensified, far louder than any sound a cat would be capable of making. Antlers started growing from its head. The grandma fired a single shot into the beast's skull and yelled,
"Cease, Chili!"
I never heard a more horrifying sound. The cat violently morphed into a coyote, then a cougar, then a stag, all the while screaming a terrible scream until its grotesque body finally turns back into a feathered old man. The wound festered and black smoke spilled out as the skin around it burned and fell off the monster's face. It turned away and ran out of the garage, running back into the desert.
"What'll happen to it?"
Gigi asked.
"It'll suffer greatly. Speaking the birth name of Maicho is the only way to truly extinguish it. In 3 days, it'll die a death more agonizing than you or I could imagine."
Gigi and I felt every muscle in our body relax, knowing this thing could never harm us. Since then, I've moved north and don't have much interest in returning. I'm sure whatever magic created the skinwalkers can be found here, too. But the desert just doesn't feel safe to me anymore. This past October, I had worked at a haunt. That is, a haunted attraction at a local theme park. I was pretty good at managing the big crowds, but what I really enjoyed was when the crowds would get smaller, and groups of 10 to 20 people were coming into my attraction. During times when the crowds were thin like that, I loved scaring them with stories and legends I knew about, and one of my favorite legends to tell them were the Skinwalker legends. I would start off greeting the group and tempting them with the offer to tell them all a story, asking them if they would like to hear a local legend, as we live in the desert, and this haunt was tucked away in the heart of miles of desert land. When they would agree, I would start my tale. Some of you may know about skinwalkers, and for those of you that do, you might know that native Navajo and Hopi tribes are fearful to even speak of this creature, or to even utter its name. These monsters span from South Arizona all through to New Mexico and the Mexican border, and across the lands of the native peoples. The Navajo believe them to be witches or shaman, an evil being with the supernatural power to shapeshift, typically by wearing the skins or masks of the animals they wish to walk as, a practice which is looked down upon by the Navajo people. This power is gained after killing a close relative or sibling, and imbues the being with many dark powers. The animal they appear as, however, always looks wrong. A deer or coyote that stands on its hind legs and walks as a man does, a crow or owl that has a face or eye that looks too human to belong to the animal they mimic, and that glow red in the moonlight. In all the legends, it says there is always one sure way to identify a skinwalker. A skinwalker, no matter what, will never be able to move as the creature it appears as in its animal form. Skinwalkers are able to do other things as well. They can move at seemingly impossible speeds and can mimic the voice of people, crying babies, your friends or loved ones, voices you would trust. They will lure you into the forest or into the pitch black of the nighttime desert. And once they have you isolated, and you lay your eyes upon their face, it is said you will die an agonizing death. Skinwalkers can curse people and cause them great suffering. Often it is said that they use a mixture that some call corpse powder, when seen in their human form, which turns your tongue black and causes violent convulsions until you die. The worst part about skinwalkers, the reason native people dare not speak of it is believed that a skinwalker is capable of reading your minds. And the more aware of them you are, the more aware they become of you. So try not to think about it. But if on your ride home you can see a coyote in your path, or hear the drums of native people echoing loudly throughout the darkness, take care to drive quickly, and pray it will not pursue you. And at the end of it, I would almost always be met with looks of horror and fear. It was my absolute favorite tale to tell for this reason. I would tell this story over and over to as many groups as I could. It wasn't a good idea to talk about them. I would say as much with each recounting of the legend, and much less in the middle of a desert, surrounded by inky blackness that engulfed everything the park's lights didn't illuminate. But I did. I felt safe. Nothing would happen to me. It was just a legend. That was until I drove home after my shift, around 1 in the morning, after a night of telling this particular story dozens of times to guests. As I drove through the twists and turns of the pitch-black mountainous desert road, I traveled each night to go home. My high beams on, penetrating the darkness just enough for me to see the road and the first layer of brush on either side of it. My headlights shone on an animal, a coyote. At first I thought it was just the angle the light had hit it at that made it appear to have no tail. But as I continued driving, I encountered the animal again, 3 times, each within several miles of each sighting. A distance any normal animal wouldn't be able to make, especially when running against a car going 65 miles an hour for most of the journey. Each time I would scan the road for wildlife, and I would see it, there, just outside the darkness. The coyote with no tail, staring at me from the side of the road. My stomach churned a bit, and I breathed deep, trying to tell myself I was just imagining things. The coyotes had tails, and none of them were the same animal. It wasn't possible. It couldn't be. But I knew, deep down, I was lying to myself. I knew I was wrong. I knew it wasn't real. And it was terrifying. I'm relieved to say I made it home safely that night, but still, every now and then, when I drive to the desert in the darkness of night, or glance out my bedroom window into the blackness, I can see that coyote, that skinwalker. I hope it never decides I know too much, but I think that maybe, just maybe, it visits me to remind me of its presence, that it wants me to continue telling this story, to continue spreading awareness of their presence, so that it can claim the lives of those who are weak-minded enough to fall prey to it. And now that you know the story, maybe it will come after you. Back in college, a buddy and I were hanging out in our dorm room, smoking some weed and chilling. We get on the topic of creepypastas and stuff like that. I mentioned that I've heard some really creepy skinwalker stories. My buddy gets really quiet out of nowhere. I saw one once. Up close and personal. That shit's real, bro. Of course, I asked him to tell me more. He said he didn't like talking about it, but eventually he opened up. So his story took place back in the summer before he left for college. Him and his high school friend group had planned a big last hurrah camping trip. He was from Southsdale, Arizona, and I think he said they only drove a good hour and a half outside the city to one of their friend's parents' ranching properties. There's about 8 people in their group, and everyone shows up around the same time in 3 separate cars. Around when they show up, it's already starting to get dark, so they set up their tents and a campfire and start drinking and smoking. This one dude in their group, let's call him Tim, is being a little more quiet than usual. My buddy asked him what's wrong, and he said something along the lines of, "I don't feel good, just a little under the weather today." Regardless, they start making brats and all having a good time. Then, out of nowhere, everyone notices Tim is gone, just totally vanished. Nobody even saw him leave, even though everyone was relatively close to the fire. The group started calling his name, thinking that he's pranking everyone. Then they start to get worried once Tim has been gone for over an hour. So my friend and a couple others go out into the hills to search for him. They walk around for a good 15 minutes, calling his name before they finally get a response. It's not Tim. Instead, they hear the familiar howl of a coyote, and it's answered by a couple of other coyotes. My buddy says he was a little worried at this point that Tim might have gotten dragged off by the wild animals. Everyone in their group was paranoid because there's no way Tim could have gone missing without anyone noticing. Just no way. They heard another howl suddenly. It's longer than the others, and different in that it sounds off, like if someone had a recording of a coyote howling and decided to play it. My friend's blood ran cold when the howl ended in a sort of hacking laughter. And unlike the howl, the laughter sounded close. Like 20 feet away, close. The group started frantically looking around, convinced Tim is out there fucking with him. He isn't. They don't see anyone. They return to the fire, a little shaken up. Everyone is really starting to get worried at this point. The group starts considering calling the police when suddenly a truck pulls up to the campsite. It's Tim's truck. Tim says he's sorry. He got off work 2 hours late and hurried out to the ranch as fast as he could. This is when the group realized that Tim didn't carpool there with anyone. As if on cue, they hear another long, drawn-out howl, just like the other one. At that point, the group noped the fuck out of there. They ended up paying to camp at a designated campground, and the night went on as normal. But my friend still says he thinks about when he asked Tim if he was all right. He claims that at the time he could definitely tell something was off about Tim, but didn't think anything of it. But now he's 100% convinced that Tim was some sort of skinwalker entity, impersonating his friend for shits and giggles. How the creature knew what Tim sounded and looked like, he has no explanation for that. Maybe it just got inside their heads.